Welcome to the Back 'em Down Podcast. It's your host, Coach Johnson. In this episode, we're going to be talking about a little bit of NBA news regarding the Los Angeles Clippers, as well as Victor Oladipo. We will also be talking about Game 6 from the Celtics Heat series. First off, let's talk about the breaking news that the Los Angeles Clippers have let go of head coach Doc Rivers. A little bit surprising that he wasn't able to get another chance to run it back with this team, but he's also had his chances as this head coach, coaching Lob City with Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, and coming up short then, and now with a team that was the favorites going into the season with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, plus Patrick Beverley, Lou Hill, and Montrezl Williams to win the title, and then they blow a 3-1 series lead against the Denver Nuggets with the possibility of facing the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. The interesting thing will be is what direction do they go now? What type of coach do they try to bring in to right the ship and get the Clippers to the finals? The problem that Doc Rivers had with this team is that there was no structure offensively for them. They played like an AAU team that had a lot of talent, and unfortunately that led them to be a very streaky team as well, and it came back to bite them in the playoffs as they were not able to close the series against the Nuggets. But what is good about Doc Rivers, and he'll find another job in this league, is that he does empower his players and let them play. He doesn't try to overcoach them. So it's going to be interesting to see where he lands as well. Possibly he could be the next head coach for the Rockets, or he could be in Philadelphia, one of those teams that are wanting to try to take another step to reach a conference finals, reach the NBA finals. And he might have to tweak his ways a little bit to help those teams. But there's a great possibility that one of those two jobs comes his way. Going back to looking at what the Clippers are going to do at this point, they have two strong candidates on their staff, possibly three, with Ty Lue, Sam Cassell, and Rex Kolaitham. And right now, I would say you have to go with Tyronn Lue, the guy that has head coaching experience, has been to the finals before, has won an NBA championship. That seems like the best bet to be Doc Rivers' replacement, especially with Sam Cassell possibly becoming the head coach of the Houston Rockets. And Rex Kolaitham, while he has been an assistant for a long time in this league, he may look to a different job opportunity down the line, or even this year with the possibility of being hired by the Thunder, one of those younger teams that is going to look for someone new that hasn't been a head coach that they can build with their team as they start a rebuild or are in the middle of a rebuild. But I want to hear from you all. Who do you think is going to be the next head coach of the Los Angeles Clippers? And now the next topic, while it's not as big of news as the Doc River news, what we do have is Victor Oladipo wanting out of Indiana. This may be a mutual thing, or possibly he may be just fed up with the organization as they might have tried to rush him back from his injury after injuring his quad and being out for a long period of time, and he did try to come back and help them in the bubble and in the playoffs, but never really looked like the player that he was when he took Indiana into the playoffs and gave LeBron a run for his money in his last season with Cleveland. But there's still a lot there for Oladipo. He's still a dynamic scorer. He's still a plus defender on the wing. And so his services are going to be greatly appreciated by anyone that acquires him, whether through trade and or through free agency, depending on which way things unfold. But I think the top suitors for Oladipo moving in to this offseason will be the Lakers trying to find a third option next to Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Also, the Miami Heat looking to add another piece to the puzzle to make another run in the playoffs next season. And also, the Phoenix Suns looking to continue to build their talent to work themselves into the playoffs and maximize the window that they do have with Devin Booker as he continues to grow as a player. Let me know who you think that is going to end up with Victor Oladipo. Will it be a team in the East, a team in the West? Will it be a team right outside of the playoff window looking to jump in? Will it be a title contender? I want to hear from you all. Who do you think is going to make a move to acquire Victor Oladipo? All right, enough of the NBA news talk. Let's jump into the first half of Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. In the first quarter, with how poorly Jay Crowder has been shooting the ball and started the ball game off shooting the ball, Marcus Smart was better off pulling and tagging Bam Adebayo on the roll instead of leaking out in transition and try to pick up easy scoring opportunities, especially with how much Adebayo has hurt them in the pick and roll as the roll man. The most important thing defensively for both these teams was that Boston needed to be extremely active and switch well on defense to combat that for Miami on the offensive side, is fighting that and keeping their tempo and execution. I thought it was a great adjustment by Miami by sticking with their man throughout Game 5 and then bringing the zone back in the early stages of Game 6, as it's just tough to deal with for any team having to switch between playing against man and then playing against zone. But Boston was able to get a Jaylen Brown 3 and then a Marcus Smart 3, and Miami came out of the zone after just two possessions in it. Defense is just so important in this series, and it was very important in this game. For Miami, it allows them to sustain their flow in the game when the offense does go dry. For Boston, it allows them to get out and run in transition and attack before Miami can get set. But for this first quarter, Miami's flow offensively was much better than what it was in Game 5, and that's a big key and played a big role in this game down the stretch. But after one, the Heat led 33-27. Moving into the second quarter, Jason Tatum was already on a triple-double watch. And oddly, the part most in question at the moment is the points, as he had 3 points, 5 rebounds, and 6 assists early into the second quarter. The Heat continued to attack in this canter every time he was on the court, and they were getting a lot of easy possessions offensively because of it. Boston missed a lot of opportunities on offense and left a lot of points on the board with a lot of missed layups in this game, especially in this quarter. Boston needed to keep attacking Miami's zone with the pick and roll and playing out of it, because it distorts Miami's matchups and forces them to think as opposed to the automatic switches that they are so accustomed to in their zone. Miami was able to get a few other key possessions offensively because of breakdowns from Boston, as Jaylen Brown drifted too far from Duncan Robinson a few times. And while he did contest well, the catch and shoot ability of Duncan Robinson is just too quick. You can't even let him get the catch as easily as he was allowing. I really thought if either team decided to play a few minutes of defense then they were going to build a pretty big lead. But this wasn't the case in this first half, as the Heat led 62-60 at the half. I wasn't sure that Brad Stevens was going to be able to go back to Enes Kanter in the second half, because what worked last game just wasn't working in this first half. But on the flip side, Robert Williams had a nice impact and was able to contest a few shots with his defense. I will be back shortly to wrap up the show after a quick word from our sponsor, Anchor. Now that we're back from the break, let's talk about the second half. One of the keys to Game 5 for Boston when they blew out Miami in the third quarter was because their defense was fantastic. Their ball pressure against dribblers and passers was great. But in this third quarter so far, there wasn't any pressure on Miami at all. There was way too many clean passing lanes leading to open shots for Miami. The craziest part about this series is how Miami has struggled to guard Boston in man-to-man since Game 3, which is why we've seen an uptick in zone from the Heat. I thought another problem for Boston, outside of the missed layups that they had in this game, was that Marcus Smart was taking a lot of shots compared to someone like Jaylen Brown, who needed to be more involved in the offense. Speaking about offense, Gordon Hayward settled too many times for jump shots with Duncan Robinson on him and needed to drive him to either get him in foul trouble or just get easy baskets. Going back to Marcus Smart, and while he is someone that competes and plays hard, there's sometimes he just does stuff that isn't smart and really hurts Boston. And really, this game was not his best game. He was shooting way too much. His defense wasn't at its normal level. And it just really hurt Boston's chances of winning this Game 6 and forcing a Game 7. Something I thought was key that Miami started to do in this third quarter was run a lot of pick and pop with Andre Iguodala to make Boston pay for putting bigs on him. Boston was trying to put their bigs on Iguodala and allow them to be in drop coverage, as they accredited him as a non-shooter. And those bigs would be able to help more in the paint with the cutters of Miami. But Iguodala stepped up in a big game and hit shots. And you could tell that Iguodala was really wanting to end this series and get his way back to the NBA Finals. And at the end of this third quarter, the Heat led 88-86. Moving into the fourth quarter, the ball pressure against dribblers and passers that I talked about at the beginning of the previous quarter was a lot better from Boston compared to what they exemplified in the first three quarters. There was a few times that Boston was able to blow up several Miami dribble handoffs, which is key because that's a key part of how Miami gets their shooters open. The Celtics were able to create a lot of turnovers in this quarter, upping their total to 11 after having just two early in the third quarter. They're doing a great job of turning their aggressive defense into easy baskets on the other end. Boston looked their best defensively with Grant Williams on the floor, and it looked to be a blessing in disguise when Daniel Theis fouled out of the game. But Miami was playing great, and Boston was playing offense like they were down 15 when they were only down 4-6 throughout this fourth quarter. But we saw a career-defining performance in the closing stages of this game as Bam Adebayo completely took over after the Heat fell behind 96-90. Setting a career high in scoring during a closeout Game 6 to get his team to the NBA Finals. He just completely took over the game, and Miami won this game going away 125-113. Miami wins the series 4-2, and are advancing to the NBA Finals for the first time since LeBron James left to go back to Cleveland. So this makes for a very interesting storyline as LeBron's going to face his former team and former head coach. This will be the first time that LeBron has faced his former head coach as a head coach of the opposing team in the NBA Finals. He has faced Mike Brown when he was an assistant with the Golden State Warriors. And we just know the bad blood that there is between LeBron and the Heat organization, especially Pat Riley, which will give LeBron extra motivation in this series, which could cause a lot of problems for Miami. But you have to give it up to Miami. They found their guys, built their guys up, developed their guys. Didn't just go and add the top-tier talent in the league, but they put together a team that fit right into what they do. Give credit to Eric Spoelstra because he gets the most out of his players. He puts them in the best spots to succeed and adapts to his team's strengths and weaknesses. So congratulations to the Miami Heat for winning the Western Conference Finals and advancing to the NBA Finals as they look on to the Los Angeles Lakers. And that wraps it up for this episode of the Back 'Em Down podcast. I want to make an announcement that yesterday I hit 1,000 plays on the podcast so far. Only 2 months of doing this. Very thankful for everyone that has tuned in to the episodes I have put out, and I plan on putting out different type of content as I progress with this podcast, and that won't just be limited to the podcast, but also drills, more interviews with college coaches, high school coaches, recruits, film breakdown of NBA players, college players, different teams. But this is only the beginning. I'm going to continue to work and build this brand, but I want to say thank you for the support so far. But it's NBA Finals time. We've got the Miami Heat versus the Los Angeles Lakers. Should be a very compelling series. I was going to give a prediction of how the series will go, but we're going to save that for the next episode when I give my breakdown and preview of the NBA Finals matchup. But until then, I hope you all have a great Monday night. And I can't wait until I put out this NBA Finals preview. It's going to be full of great content and information. And I'm excited to see what you all think is going to take place in the NBA Finals. But until then, I hope everyone takes care. And thank you for tuning in for this episode of the Back 'Em Down podcast.